What's up, everybody? This is Healing Intentions, and I'm your host, Dr. Adrian Mimetti. This podcast is about natural health and wellness, mental health, cannabis, psychedelics, philosophy, and spirituality. Today, my guest is Dr. Rob Vareka. Rob lives and works as a chiropractor in southern Maine with his fiance, Andy, and two pups. Rob is a fungi enthusiast, avid reader, and a natural healthcare patient and practitioner. Let's get started. All right. So here we are, another episode of Healing Intentions. I've got my good friend here, Dr. Rob Vareka. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, Adrian. Glad to be here, man.
Really, really glad we could connect, man. It's been a while. So I figured, you know, let's do a two-in-one, catch up and record a podcast episode.
Love it. I love it. How you been doing?
Been doing good, man. Doing good. Just that that California hustle out here, you know. You know how it goes.
Yeah, it's a different adjustment from that Midwest vibe, for sure.
For sure, man. But I'm loving it. Loving it. I'm, you know, got myself involved in the cannabis industry now as a sales manager for Grizzly Peak. Shout out Grizzly Peak. Definitely check them out if you're in California. And you know, working on my website still. It's pretty much done, but kind of, you know, my whole vision of integrating cannabis, naturopathic medicine, kind of all putting it together, I think is slowly starting to come to fruition little by little here.
Hey man, if there's anyone out there that's able to do it, it's definitely you. You are the person that brings people together through music, love, and cannabis.
That's it. Wow. I love that.
All good things.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I definitely appreciate it and always appreciated our friendship and, you know, living right across the street from each other in the apartment complex there was pretty awesome, man. I think back to those times and, you know, you coming over for water and
I miss that. I need that in my life.
Yeah. Yes, you do. Kangen water, baby.
Hey, are you still doing a lot of that?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not doing a whole lot, you know, I'm trying to do other things, but it's always an ongoing thing. Absolutely. Yeah. I, you know, I've talked about it in other episodes. Check it out. You know, the company in Enagic, Enagic, Enagic.com. Learn everything you want about them. They're really great, water ionizers. And, yeah, it's definitely an exciting, you know, venture for sure. But you would come over for the water and then I would just, you know, leave my key in the mailbox for you and and you would come and take out Pablo and, you know, just all of a sudden my whole house is vacuumed.
like, well, hey, shit. First of all, anything for Pablo. Pablo is a Pablo's a legend. If you don't know Pablo, he's a great man. And no, truly, that water's a game changer. I don't know if anyone's ever had the chance of actually drinking alkaline water, but it's you feel the difference the moment you drink it. It's insane. You actually taste yourself tasting water and actually digesting water, which is a really weird feeling. Mm. And you actually crave water, which is really, really cool. And it feels so much better throughout the day just to feel hydrated. It's a noticeable difference.
You got used to drinking the water for a good, what, year straight, I think. And then now you don't have it. Have you noticed the difference kind of not drinking it?
My body actually went through weird bladder changes, I'll say, because of it, actually. Mm. Having to pee more frequently. Just a lot of things that just felt different and felt off and never actually feeling like I was actually feeling hydrated. And it's we switched to a Berkey filter now, and it's something that it's an okay product. It's not necessarily something that we want to do for a long period of time, but for the meantime, it works out for what we need.
Yeah, that's definitely what I will recommend to patients. You know, if you're not ready to spend, you know, $2,000 to $5,000 on a, you know, the best quality water, then this is a very affordable next option, you know, that actually does take out everything from your water. You know, it's a really great filter. It's just not doing all the other stuff to the water that the Kangen water totally does. So
yeah, it's you can taste the difference, I'll say that. And kind of like the what you mentioned before with putting the water next to your dogs, like they can literally choose the Kangen water. They can taste the difference, they can smell the difference, they know the difference. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. There's no placebo effect in animals, right?
Right. Yeah. It's that feeling. It's that gut.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So tell me about your life, how it's been in Maine and kind of what you've been up to, what, you know, how things have been going post-graduation here for you.
Well, it's currently 8:37 Eastern time. So it's a work night for me. So I'm still adjusting to that Eastern time zone in a sense where it's getting pretty dark here pretty early, as I can see that sun shining in your background looks pretty, pretty nice right now.
Yeah.
But
we're 3 hours behind here in the Pacific time zone.
It's about to be it's sunset, different.
Actually. Perfect time.
Growing up as a Midwest boy, I got used to that central time zone. But now Maine is so cool. If you haven't had the chance to get up here yet. I remember you saying that.
No, I'll be there soon, though, as soon as I can.
It's one of the gems. It truly is. It's like a hidden beauty of America. It's got all the nature that you can want. It's got the mountains. It's got the sea. It's got hiking. It's got literally every season and every activity you can do during every season. And everybody out here wants to be outside. They want to be active. They want to be moving, having fun. They want to just be truly living a simple life outside, which is everything that we strive for in life and everything that I want in my community and my surrounding. And it's a cool vibe out here. It's got kind of that West Coast chill vibe to it where people are really laid back and very open-minded, but very progressive at the same time, where they still want to, I don't even know why I say progressive, but just want to just go outside and just be outside. It's a very athletic, outdoorsy, adventurous type of vibe.
Like health conscious, would you say as well?
Health conscious. That's kind of what I was more going towards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Natural healthcare, especially, which is really cool. It's one of the reasons we initially came out here. When we visited last time, we actually shadowed a couple different practitioners out here, and they were super welcoming and just super open to us having not only contact, but potential meetings and potential job opportunities in the future, which is really rare, as you could probably attest to in this field, to actually have people like with open arms and be like, no, we'd love for you to come open up next door and actually want to work with us and work with this community. There's a huge need for it out here. And it's just, it's cool to come to a community that's like that and very open arms and very welcoming. And, we've just enjoyed the hell out of it. It's been a really cool experience so far. And I really, now that it's been a winter season, I actually get to go out in the mountains a little bit and get skiing. I've definitely been getting into those good, I don't even know what vibes you want to call them, just good mountain vibes that is just let yourself feel loose and just feel free, one with nature.
Well, I was just going to say one with nature. You literally took the words out of my mouth. So beautiful.
It's grounding in the coolest way. It's a... if you've never had the chance to go skiing or snowboarding, I highly, highly recommend it. Same thing with surfing. It's the unique experiences that truly just get you to feel present in the moment. That just, it's unique.
Yeah. We had that awesome Colorado trip that time. We were just all texting about that, you know, we'd redo that again. And just the great, great trip, man. Great memory. You know, one of my favorite memories from school, you know, those 4 years of school period for sure.
Yeah, the old shenanigans, just hanging out with the boys and just having a good old time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Oh, so I have a surfing story for you. I went surfing for first time out here on Mission Beach.
Right on.
Actually, Faras came and visited me, Dr. Faras Dasuki.
Very cool.
Yeah,
he came out
in December, and we both went surfing. It was his first time, and it was my first time since I've lived here. And boy, did I learn my lesson the hard way, dude. I got caught in a rip current. It's funny now.
Yep.
But boy, was that scary. I got saved by the lifeguard, dude. I know this is embarrassing to admit. I was.
Talk about being present, man.
I was like, what's going on? I didn't know anything, dude. I went home afterwards and I educated myself about rip currents. Dude, they're the number one killer of the ocean. They kill more people than sharks.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then I texted Ben about it and he's like, yeah, you just swim parallel or you just wait till he just knew right away. And I was like, dude, I didn't know that.
Did they warn you at all before you got out there? I mean, that's like,
nope,
I feel like that should be like, surfing 101.
Surfboard, have fun.
Well, it sounds like a good experience, a learning experience.
I loved it though, even despite that and a little scare. I mean, honestly, I was fine. It's not like I was about to drown or anything. I was totally fine, but all of a sudden I see a lifeguard paddling towards me. I'm like, oh, whoa, this got serious. The whole beach is lined up watching, like,
wow. That's an event, man. That's wild.
Yeah, but I'm still going to go back. I love the water, man. You know, I can't wait. So
have you had a chance? So that's your only time you've been up there then?
Only time. Yeah. I want to get my own wetsuit and like my own board and stuff. It just hasn't been a top priority for sure. I don't want to keep renting it, you know, but
fair.
Yeah, I can't wait because I love the water. And right now I live in Mission Beach and I'm literally like 200 steps from the water. So it's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't
on.
Complain.
So yeah, that's actually kind of one of the cool things about Maine when we didn't really know when we came out here is we literally live 5 minutes away from the ocean and it's insane. It's not really anything we really considered, like the having the ocean life and having the kind of like in Mission Beach, how they have it there. They have like that huge ocean town with like the little roller coasters and the little strip and stuff. Mm-hmm. They have a ton of those towns out here and it's actually like a huge, huge tourist thing in the summertime. It's pretty cool.
Wow. That's exciting. Yeah. Summertime's going to be busy for you guys, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully this next summer coming up should be a lot more fun. We got some big plans coming up this fall and then getting married, which should be pretty cool up in the mountains. Awesome. And then hopefully in the near future opening up our own practice here together. My fiance is a naturopathic doctor. She's currently working out of Saco, Maine at Northern Comfort Wellness, and hopefully in the near future we'll be joining practices and becoming the first DC naturopathic or chiropractic naturopathic clinic in all Maine, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's exciting. Wow. The first, I love it.
Yeah. Pioneers.
There'll be many firsts. I have a feeling coming out of that establishment.
Yeah. It's a cool learning experience, but honestly being able to work together and integrate practices, it's really, really cool. So I'm working with another chiropractor right now and actually just being able to work with him and learn from him, someone that went to another school with different techniques and just kind of being able to bounce back and forth. It's been, a cool learning experience for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what I've worked with you in the past. There's a technique called Corin specific technique.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool technique. It's a vitalistic chiropractic technique that kind of uses the body trying to get responses from it by binary biofeedback, which is just getting yes or no responses by either doing muscle testing, checking leg length. If you're familiar with applied kinesiology, it's a form of chiropractic medicine that uses a lot of those principles to, treat and diagnose the body from truly not just using your palpation skills. So not just trying to feel what's wrong, but truly trying to ask like, where can I address this issue, the root cause of it, and trying to address it that way. It's a really cool approach. And it's an approach that I've seen some really cool results with things that I haven't, I've tried just a natural, if you want to say rack 'em and crack 'em approach. And it only lasts for so long with those results. They're very, very short and temporary. It's trying to understand how to actually get the patient what they need to put their body in the best position to heal itself rather than you trying to constantly correct it and just fix it yourself.
Yeah. I love that. You're not trying to be one of those chiropractors where it like come back in to see me twice a week to get your adjustment. And if you don't do that, you're not going to feel right. It's like, is that a good business model for you? Is that really helping the patient? You know?
I mean, I love seeing patients and I love having that relationship, but no, I don't want to be seeing someone for the same issue two times a week. It just doesn't make sense on either of our ends. So kind of like your approach too, just going really after what they really need rather than just looking at it from a straight structural approach and just saying like, nope, this is what's out of place. Let's just put that back in and just hope it stays there. Yeah. It really just doesn't work well with the body that way. The body's much more of a energetic being in a sense. So trying to work with its energy and trying to understand how to allow it to manifest what it needs rather than trying to dictate it ourselves and trying to guess that. It just doesn't, it's more long lasting. The body responds better to it.
Yeah, man. Wow. You just opened up a lot of holes there. Everything is energy, right? I mean, you read that book, The Field, let you borrow.
That's a cool book, man.
That tells you all about that. And it goes into many aspects of energetic, you know, medicine or energy, the field, quantum physics, all of that stuff. That's really is all this, you know, talking about the same thing. And it's so cool, man. It's like, there's different ways that we attack it, but we're all kind of getting to the same kind of root cause. Like what
exactly
is the root
cause? Yeah. It's kind of like that way in life. We're all trying to achieve different things, but we go about it or pretty much the same things in life. We're trying to achieve happiness, trying to achieve, well, generally, in my opinion, you're trying to achieve those things, but we all have a different way of going about it. Same thing with natural healthcare. There's so many different ways of actually figuring out not only what's wrong with the patient, but actually going about and then treating it with them and allowing them to figure out ways to treat themselves and actually learn how to become healthy and promote health rather than trying to just take away symptoms or trying to just depress or suppress different things that are going on that are warning signs and alert signs from the body saying like, hey, I need help.
Yeah.
It's a cool opportunity to actually be almost like a teacher for people and be like, hey, to allow them to see why this is happening and actually feel why it's happening and understand it so they can learn and grow from it and actually just become their own doctor in a sense. I think that's what truly natural healthcare is. It's learning how to work with your body, with nature, and understand it and not have to rely on other things.
I mean, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you just said it. Doctor is almost like a teacher. You know, we're taught in naturopathic medicine all the time. Dr. Liu, our professor, our sage of our program. She always said that, you know, doctor comes from the Latin teach, docere, and docere means to teach, teacher in Latin.
Oh, right on.
And so doctor literally means there doctor as teacher, you know? So that's like one of our six actually main principles of naturopathic medicine. It's that important.
Very cool. You know?
So yeah, it's about teaching people how to live that, you know, healthy lifestyle and ultimately teaching them that we're not doing anything. It's themselves that's the actual healer. And we're just kind of giving them some tips and, you know, approaches to kind of get the obstacles out of the way. And then boom, vitalism, your body's natural ability to heal itself. And man,
which is a super powerful thing.
It's just so crazy, dude. I've been really getting deep into Naturopathic Medicine Institute and NMI. They're all about vitalism, basically, you know, just promoting that and continuing that. And you'd think that that's like the way of naturopathic medicine and what we're taught. And unfortunately, a lot of naturopathic doctors kind of are gravitating towards the other way of, like, you know, we call it green allopathy, where it's just like, here's a boatload of supplements and you're just kind of managing your symptoms in a more natural way, not really ever getting to the root cause. And it's like, that's fine. And you're not maybe doing harm, but are you really getting to the root cause? You know? And it's like, you'd think that that's like the commonplace, but it's really not. And you know, that's what you and I stand for. And a lot of the people I've had on this podcast. So that's what, you know, we're just all trying to promote is that,
you know,
really
I think that's
possible.
I think that's a great point. I think it's a huge misconception about natural healthcare. Cause I think that everyone always asks me that. They're like, okay, well, can't I just supplement it? And you can't, a famous words that my fiance always wants to say, you can't supplement your way out of a bad diet. You just can't. It's just not possible. On a bad diet, it's not moving, not eating, not drinking good water. It's so many different factors that we're just never taught as kids, that we're never really taught in life throughout this whole process to really understand. And it's just, it's difficult for people to hear these things later in life and be like, no, you've been doing this wrong, or we can actually help you with this. You can try this differently. And it's a different approach for people. It's unique, but it's something that's been around forever, and it's just unique to us. And that's what's different. So at least it's unique to me. I didn't grow up my whole life kind of knowing this medicine and actually being familiar with it. And it's been a cool learning experience and a cool growing experience with it to truly, kind of see both sides of the quarter there.
Yeah.
Experience it from both ends and truly being able to be passionate about it because you can actually see it and feel what it feels like to be healthy and understand what it is to be healthy and appreciate it and be thankful for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Well said. Beautiful. What? Tell me about your most recent diving down the rabbit hole of our fungi friends and what they've what they've taught you.
Well, I've so a really cool thing. I went on a foraging experience, which was my first one. We first moved out here. We lived in a little marshy community, so we used to go hiking at this place all the time with the dogs. And one day we were walking past this tree, and I saw this huge orange glowing something off this tree, and I was like, "What the hell is that?" Like that I've never seen anything like that. And it was a maitake mushroom, which is chicken of the woods. I didn't know it at the time. So I walked up to it and I kind of checked it out. I was like, wow, that's really, really cool looking. I've never seen something like that grow off a tree. I left it there, kind of let it do its thing. the next day I came back because I kind of did some research on it, and I was like, all right, well, let's cut this puppy off. Let's actually go experiment with it. Let's see if it actually is what it is. Cause you can actually, I mean, learn a lot about a mushroom when you actually cut it off and break it open a little bit and actually dissect it a little bit to truly understand.
Sorry, one second here.
The species. I know, it's getting late for you there. It's all good. It's all good. I'm actually drinking some Lion's Mane coffee right now. Ooh. And it's keeping me awake. I'll get into that in a little bit, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
But we got the mushroom and learned about it, learned how to cook it. I fried it up and I way overcooked it. Mm. And trying to prove a point that eating mushrooms out of the woods was a good and tasty thing to do to my fiance, because she was a little skeptical of it. I ate the whole thing or at least most of it and just tried to pound it down. And hopefully I got some good therapeutic benefits out of it. Probably not, but how much I actually overcooked it. But it made me learn that I didn't want to just go out there and just cut up mushrooms and just break up that ecosystem and really disturb something that was truly happening without me actually going and trying to use it for something. So I haven't really gone out and foraged anymore to the point where I actually go out and try to pick them, but I go out all the time. I'm always taking pictures, trying to observe different ones, see what trees they're growing on, learn different environments, learn different things about them. And man, they're super fascinating things. If you guys haven't had the chance to check out mushrooms, there are a couple books out there that are really, really cool books to kind of get you introduced to it. One of which Adrian introduced me to, and there's a movie actually by Paul Stamets and Louis Schwartzberg. It's called Fantastic Fungi, and it's probably the most beautiful movie you'll ever watch and the most aesthetically pleasing book you'll ever read. It does such a good job of painting a picture of what mushrooms are, how they interact with us, and their potential for healing the earth, their potential for healing us, their potential for healing and doing so, so much more, not even just healing. It's they're so smart and they're so unique with so many different things. They're such a cool, I don't even know how to explain it. It's become my huge, huge new hobby, just learning about it. It just feels so unique and just so untouched and just so fascinating and so different, but powerful. It's a really, really cool, I don't even know what you want to call it, avenue to explore.
Mm-hmm. Hobby at the minimum.
For sure. The very least. I definitely see a future in some sort of trying to become some sort of a, whether it be supporter of something with it, a company that I believe in. Like there's a local company. I have a patient out here that has his own extract business that he actually grows and cultures his own mushrooms and extracts. And I've been using his products and it's been fantastic. It's a noticeable difference. The potency is very, very strong and they're it's a feeling again of optimal health. And it's kind of explaining it as Kobe Bryant once said, that you're never always in greatness, but there's sometimes that you touch greatness. And that's what really living is being able to just go and constantly be able to touch greatness. And that's sometimes what it feels like when you take things like that, where it allows you to truly be your best self without necessarily having to be on drugs or having to, whatever it is that makes you feel like you need that ultimate high. It's just your body supporting itself to truly feel its best and function at its best.
I love it, man. Yeah. Really, really well said. And Fantastic Fungi. Great documentary. I actually watched it again last night. I had my friend visiting
right from
Town Justice and he hadn't seen it yet. So I was like, I'll watch it with you right now.
It's an easy rewatch.
Oh yeah. And it's just highly recommended. Check it out to everybody. But yeah, that's fascinating, man. Wow. Maitake has so many different benefits. Like I remember we learned about that in one of our classes. There's so much research that's been done about its anti-cancer properties and like helping.
Absolutely.
People. It's just a lot of the mushrooms. I mean, turkey tail and, you know, reishi and those are that medicinal mushroom world. I mean, there's a reason why it's exploding, because people are realizing like, oh wow, there's that
the spectrum of things that it can address, and at the level of potency that it can address, and I don't want to say at the level of potency, but the level of therapeutic order by how high of potency it can have in certain things. Mm-hmm. Or I'm probably not saying that the best way, but it's a very powerful, tool that I think is definitely being researched more. And I think should be researched more. And myself is kind of getting on board with that. You're the person that actually introduced me to a lot of this stuff, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. First starting with a little bit more of the psychoactive experiment, which is always a fun time, but learning not how to just make it a fun time, actually learning how to grow from the experience and actually how to use it therapeutically. I think that's something that no one else has ever really taught me or ever explained or shared with me. And I think that's some of the times in life where you learn the most about yourself, because it truly makes you look at your inner self. It's like a mirror you're staring in all the time. And you just got to pretty much be like, okay, deal with whatever it is, good or bad, that's in your life right now, and learn how to truly live with it and be okay with it. And it's a healing experience. It's difficult for sure. It can be, but it's cool. And going through the Joe Rogan podcast, that's kind of where it all started, though, what you recommended.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I'm glad to hear that. I love the through recording these episodes of the through people, you know, like Cece, Dr. Felty, same thing. Oh, she's yes. Like, yeah, you've, you know, like been my like spirit guide in some, like, oh, I recorded an episode for her podcast. And she's like, you've been my spirit guide in some ways for, you know, leading me to do this CIS psychedelic certificate and all this stuff, and realizing I want to do that with patients and all this stuff. I'm like, that's incredible. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing myself, but I'm just like, I just, that's my strength. I realized is that I get really into things and then I just can't hold back the passion. And I just talk about it to whoever's willing to listen, and people see that, like, okay, this guy isn't crazy. He knows what he's saying. Let me look into this.
Your energy flows at such a strong state sometimes. No, it's really cool. And it's very, it's inviting, and it's definitely passionate and genuine. And it's something that I think spirit animal or spirit guide is a great way of saying it. I've witnessed it firsthand with you, with other people that we've done this experience with, and kind of going through that experience of seeing the worst side of it, of seeing someone that just caves in and doesn't want to truly feel what they're feeling and just kind of shelter themselves. And then other times where it's just the complete opposite, where it's actually just talking and being completely open and truly diving deep into what you need to talk about. It's a cool experience, and you're really, really good at pulling that out of people, making them feel comfortable, and just making them feel themselves, which is a really good gift and a really powerful thing. And I think that's one thing as a doctor, I think that you translate in everything in life. You're a great listener, and kind of like what you always say, it's two ears, one mouth. Mm. That's one of our greatest gifts that we don't give to enough people, just listening.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. And same to you. I, you know, maybe we might not have hung out as much, but every time we did, it was such quality, you know, and
agreed.
Every time we've connected, like, dude, look at this. We haven't talked in a while. And now this talk is going to be broadcasted to the world. Like, how beautiful is that?
And I feel like I'm just sitting right next to you again, sitting on the couch with old Pobs and shooting the shit, man. Yeah, just talking life, which is cool.
Totally, man. Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. It's like, I've gotten people so excited about mushrooms that I've gotten a few of my friends into the growing them.
Yeah.
Of all kinds.
People instantly see that the power of it. It's so quickly, like, you experience it once and it may not be that favorable effect right away, but it's one of those things that really opens some doors and opens some eyes to yourself to really just, yep, maybe just become a little bit more open in general.
It's, you know, that whole quote of, like, you know, you're, what you say is like whatever, but your actions speak so clearly. You know, it's like somebody could be like, oh yeah, that was cool, man. Cool. Thanks. But then when they start growing it, that's when you know, okay, they really appreciate
that. Hit home.
So yeah, I get, you know, excited about that. And that's what it's about, man. That's what the mushrooms are trying to do, spread their mycelium all throughout. And that's what they're doing through myself and through you. And it's just spreading all over to people to help heal us and to help, you know, connect us to ourselves ultimately, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, hang on one second here.
Yep. There you go. Momentary smoke break.
As is tradition.
We both live in legal states, right? That we're not doing anything wrong.
Yes, sir.
We're just responsible adults.
Yeah, and just recreationally enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, man. So,
some cool things though, some cool, side tips about mushrooms.
Yes.
I think you may know this already, but the Japanese underground trail or rail system, train system, mm-hmm. Was actually designed by using slime molds. So what they did, Japanese, who was it? Whether it was researchers or, the builders, whatever, I forget exactly who it was, but they actually set up different wood blocks of all of Japan and like made like a re-sculpture of it almost in a sense using wood. And they allowed different slime molds to kind of go and navigate its way through the country and figure out the best and most efficient way to actually put the rail system in the country. And then they had different people try to design it in other ways. And they couldn't find a way that was cheaper and more efficient overall than what the slime molds found out. It was almost like a pathway that they created because they found what they were trying. They put like a higher density of wood that the molds would want to be attracted to in the locations that the train would want to go to in a sense. So that the mycelium would want to grow towards that in a sense.
Wow.
Yeah. And they literally built the system based off that alone. Didn't make any changes to it because it was the most efficient thing that they can come up with. And then Great Britain actually did the same thing with their interstate system, their M1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it goes up to, did the exact same thing with theirs recently when they, redesigned it and reconfigured it. They did the slime molds as well. And that's how they rebuilt their interstate system. That's pretty cool.
That's mind blowing, man. That's mind blowing. I don't think I heard about the Tokyo thing. I think that was in a Joe Rogan podcast with Paul Stamets potentially.
Oh, right on. About that. Okay.
But the other one, that's crazy. I mean, talk about intelligence, right? Like, and that's for roads. Like imagine other, you know, uses that we don't even
That's the thing. We have no idea. There's so many species that we don't even know yet are so undiscovered. And we don't even understand what the species that we know of their potentials yet or understand how to even work with them or use them or cultivate them in so many ways. Like one thing I actually really want to try someday with you, and I don't know if you've ever been interested in it, but truffle hunting. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. I heard they're like that. That's why they're so expensive, because they're so difficult to find, right?
Yeah. So they actually, you can't see them above ground. They're always underground. You actually have to have dogs that can actually go and sniff them out in a sense. They have to be able to somehow locate the different species underground, even though they can be feet underground of dirt.
Wow.
But the aroma is so strong and you have to pretty much pluck it right away as soon as you actually uncover it and get it to the table as soon as possible for it still to have it. But they, I guess the experience and the actual flavor of it is supposedly there's nothing that can match it in a lot of people's opinion, which is something that I definitely want to try someday. And a lot of people do in California. It's pretty often in a lot of the valleys and a lot of the, I guess just different outskirts of different cities out there. It's pretty common to go truffle hunting and pretty popular for people to find different species and different things with it.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool hobby.
Interesting. I remember I went one time to this nice restaurant in Chicago with my family for my birthday and they had like a mushroom risotto. And they're like, would you like this extra truffle on top? It's $3,000 a pound for this truffle. Yeah. And I was like, sure, sounds good. It was like 40 bucks just for them to go. But dude, that's the awesome. Way that it tasted, like, it's indescribable. I mean, and it, right away, what I said out loud at the time, I was like, oh, that's like a pound of fine cannabis. Like, I said that out loud to the waiter was just like, what?
That's awesome.
Dude, it's got
all relative.
It's that umami taste, which is like
exactly
another, you know, taste that's like savory, the sweet, salty, bitter, you know, all those. What am I missing?
Salt, sweet, savory, umami, bitter.
I think that's all of them. Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Wow. I didn't know that was even in California. I thought that. Something about it's in France. Maybe that's where there's more of them, or it's the most.
Yeah, Europe. It's huge out there. A lot in France, a lot in Italy, different places like that, up in the mountains and stuff in the hills. It's pretty popular.
Very cool, man. Yeah, that's interesting, man. Dogs, the power of their, just like how they can teach them to smell cancer, like insane.
Yeah, we don't appreciate dogs enough for pretty much everything that they're willing to give to us for pretty much very little in return. It seems like it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
They are, we are very lucky to have them in our lives. I'm very grateful for my two golden retrievers and love them to death. Oakley and Willow, shout out.
Yeah. Love them. Yeah. They're great dogs and, they're cool with Pablo. Pablo's not too cool with too many dogs and he was cool with them. So that's special, right?
They were homies.
Yep. Yep.
That was pretty cool. Good times.
Yeah, man.
One other cool experience. So a patient case, I'm not going to give any names or anything like that, but he is a 35-year-old male that got into a traumatic car accident where he fell asleep at the wheel and went through his windshield with some traumatic brain damage and no necessarily like spinal cord damage, no structural damage other than just like a few bruises and stuff like that. And then just some encephalitis, which is brain swelling, which led to some neuro deficits. And the fact that he had an issue of being able to try to say what he was trying to say, almost in a sense, get out what he was trying to say. So he could hear exactly what you're saying and know what he wanted to say, but it would take him a while to actually respond to it. We learned about this in neuro class a little bit.
Was that Broca's aphasia?
Yeah, exactly. To get a little scientific on you. But he went for so long, for probably around 6 months, with getting no treatment and was just trying to make it through his everyday life and just struggled. Pretty much had to quit his job full time, couldn't really function in life.
Wow.
Was just almost broken. Yeah, almost broken in a sense, just because he pretty much lost everything. So he ended up reaching out to the chiropractor that I work with because they knew each other growing up. And he's like, "Hey man, I don't know if there's anything that you guys can do, but if you guys wouldn't mind just maybe taking a look at me and see if there's anything you can help with." So we worked with him for a little while and he definitely made some results physically where he was able to move around a bit better and actually feel better and do things that he needed to do. Mm-hmm. But energy wise, mental wise, he just was not on par to be able to even function as a normal human being at like a standard level of just trying to function at like a 20-hour-a-week job, a part-time job even. He couldn't do that level of work without passing out or just really not even being able to focus on what he was doing just because he just had so much brain fog and so much pain internally that he couldn't really describe. He didn't, I don't know whether it was just, I think he kind of lucid, he keeps talking more about it, but I think it's more of just that emotional stressors of taking on that burden of being able to be a stressor to everybody else.
Right.
But what was really cool is now that I've been learning more about these mushrooms, I started talking to him about it and kind of introducing it to him a little bit. And I said, "Hey, well, I think this might be a route that you should maybe look a little bit more into to maybe try to help with potentially using something like lion's mane to help create some of that neurogenesis, try to create some of those neural pathways to try to help a little bit more of that firing going a little bit quicker in there. Just to help with that mental clarity, different things like that. And there's a couple other mushrooms like reishi that I recommended for sleep because he just wasn't getting any sleep. There's, what was the other one? Cordyceps, just for energy, because he was really, really fatigued. And he's been taking them pretty much daily, and it's the effects were instant for pretty much every single time that he took them. He used the Host Defense, which is the Paul Stamets product, the immunity one, which is like a blend of a lot of the different mushrooms and a couple different adaptogenic herbs with it. He takes that daily, and then he takes a dose of the lion's mane from Ohm, which is another mushroom company. And it's unique about their company, I've been doing a lot of research, is they use a brown grain rice to actually grow their mycelium in and actually grow and ferment and grow their fruiting bodies, which is what the normal mushroom that you see, the actual growing part, the cool looking part of it, if you could say. And most companies just actually extract out of the fruiting bodies, but they actually grind everything together. So you're getting all the nutrients of everything that's kind of growing out with, which is kind of cool. And it's a different theory on it. So you're not necessarily losing anything that the mycelium is trying to take out from the actual soil or the different rice and different things like that. So it's a cool, it's a different product than most products, like I said, because the most products will only use the fruiting body to extract from. And they say it's a little bit higher potency when you do that, but you lose a lot of the micronutrients and a lot of the different just substituents or constituents that would normally go along with it if you're going to mix it all together, in a sense. Kind of like when you extract THC, you're losing a lot of the constituents that you would normally get if you're just going to smoke cannabis by itself. You're losing that power of everything working together, in a sense.
Now, that's very fascinating, Rob, because you know, I've done some of my own digging in the past, and maybe you can help me with this problem because I'm a little confused with the whole mycelium versus fruiting body thing, because there are companies that say we only do the fruiting body and they try to sell that as like, that is the best part of the mushroom. Why would you mess with the mycelium And because I've heard people go as far as to say that, like, when it's mycelium, you're getting all that other stuff, the substrate it was grown in and whatever, which you might not necessarily want. You're not, you know, depending on what it's grown in, right? And yeah. Then plus, you know, it's like it's mostly that. It's like 95% substrate with like a little bit of the mycelium you're getting. And they're doing it because it's much cheaper that way. It's not because it's the benefits of it. So it's like, I hear this, you know, back and forth. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, right? Like,
and you know what? And that's, I ask almost every single person that same question that actually tries to work with fungi. I'm like, where do you get your products from? Why do you get it from them? Why do you trust that process over the other? And it's, I come to the same conclusion each time, which you just came to. It's like, we don't know. They say, they give an estimate. So if you actually look at an own product, they'll give an estimate of how much of the actual mushroom product they think is actually in this packet or whatever that they're giving you, whatever capsule or whatever that you're actually taking the product of. If you compare it to the potency of other products, you'll see it's a lot less relatively. Probably it depends what product you're going to use. I don't want to give you an off ratio. I don't want to look at something and speak wrongly without looking at it directly, but I know it's lower for sure. But I don't know if just having a small dose of it almost, I'm not going to say like not like a homeopathy effect where it's like such a small dose, but like a small dose of it can still give the body enough of what it needs to actually activate it. I don't know. What I found with the company that I use locally with that, my one patient, he uses very high potency extracts. He actually uses alchemy to extract his products too, which is really cool. I think you're pretty familiar with alchemy, kind of using the lunar cycles to try to understand when to actually extract it, going through the process to understand when to get the optimal amount of therapeutic benefit. He likes to phrase it as.
Very interesting. I wonder if he's getting into Spagyrix, which is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's Spagyrix tinctures.
Holy shit, dude. That's what it's all about. That is the
best really way. Powerful stuff.
That is the best way to get something like an extraction of a botanical or a mushroom, I think, because you're getting all levels of it.
He explained this to me all the time. I try to understand it. Yeah, obviously you understand it pretty well.
I did my whole, like, we had to do like a little homeopathy research project in class. I picked Spagyrix and I did my little presentation on Spagyrix.
Right on. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, dude. That's pretty, wow. That's pretty, I got to try some of that stuff, man.
I was going to say, I'll send out some product to you. His company is Tria Alchemy. His name is Steve Libby. He's a pretty cool guy. Sweet. He completely lived different. Yeah, shout out Steve. Lived a completely different lifestyle and then started seeing, he had like a friend that actually was kind of like the Paul Stamets story where, well, I guess Paul Stamets story is a little bit different, but how his mom was taking the mushrooms. He heard a friend that was talking to him is like, hey, I think you should, like a neighbor was like, hey, I think you should try these mushrooms out because he heard his mom was like dying. He's like, I think you should recommend this with her cancer treatment. He's like, my wife just did this and she survived her cancer treatment and it went a ton better because of it, which was turkey tail mushroom.
Yep.
And he ended up doing that and recommending it to his mom. His mom is still living today and survived and has had no issues since with it. And has actually gone on a regular dose of different mushrooms, different extracts that he's gone along the way. But he was living a completely different lifestyle, but he saw the power of it so quickly with just that alone being like, cause they gave her a chance to live. I think what he told me was around like 30 to 40% at that time before they actually started doing the dual therapy with it. And at first the doctors weren't necessarily on board with it. So she was just doing it at home. And then once they started seeing like actually doing test results on her and seeing that her numbers were actually starting to, like, her immune system wasn't starting to attack her as much. And she was actually starting to have lower white blood cell counts and different things along those lines. They were like, it's totally working. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. And then she like later revealed to them, she's like, well, I've also been taking like a high dose of this mushroom. They were like blown away. And they're like, well, keep taking it then. Wow. And it worked. And it, between the two therapies, it completely resolved it, which is pretty cool.
I mean, there you go, man. Talk about integration of the conventional, you know, the best of conventional and what nature has to offer to, like, wow.
The wisdom of, things that have been around for a while. It's stuff that we can't ignore. And I think it's something that obviously we're getting more exposed to, especially with the type of healthcare that we're in. And it's our duty to expose other people to it and at least just try to at least just open, not even necessarily open their mind to it, but just expose them to it, because you never know when they'll actually take to it and actually want to learn from it. And maybe be like, hey, I heard that from somebody. This guy told me once about that. He's like, tell me more about that. Like, if someone, usually you got to hear something twice to actually want to investigate it more. Sometimes the first time you hear something, it's like, eh, I don't know about that. But if someone says it to you again, it makes you definitely think twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even sometimes a few more times, you know, they say in sales, the average sale is made on the fourth follow-up.
Wow.
You know, so it's like, sometimes you got to be,
that's persistent. A lot of persistence.
Yeah. But I mean, that's how
I don't envy those jobs.
Yeah. It's not for everybody, man, for sure. But you know, that's the thing. It's like, when you believe in what you're selling, what you believe in, what we have to offer, it's not this like pushy vibe of like, hey, check it out, you should check out these mushrooms, they're really good, they're gonna do. It's like, hey, I think this might be good for you, try it out, you know, or you could try this, or you could try that, or you could try that. You know, it's just kind of like, when you're good at sales in the traditional sense, it's just you're showing people, it's really listening first, what do you need, and then, oh, okay, based off of that, here's a path I'm illuminating for you. Would you like to walk down that path? Okay, great. No, not right now. No problem. At least I educated you and you know. So then when it is that time and it does come, you know, I planted the seed, and a little bit later something happened, you hear it again, some different life circumstances, and then it's like, oh, boom, now I'm ready, you know?
Yeah.
So I think
very cool, man.
That's what it's all about. So
Have you experienced microdosing anytime recently? Have you been partaking at all?
Yeah, just yesterday.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Where do you normally find yourself at when you do it?
So I've been playing around with it. Yesterday I did 0.2 grams, so 200 milligrams of psilocybin. Okay. And dude, it was great. I mean, I was just hanging out with my friend that was in town visiting. He took half a gram. And very interesting, because he didn't feel anything from it, you know? And it's like, we've had different, you know, stories and different times with different friends that have been like, felt things, not felt things, you know, taking higher doses. That's a lot. Yeah. So you should definitely feel something with that. So I'm just kind of like, you know, what are the potential reasons why? Well, he drank a pretty heavy amount the night before. So impaired liver function, impaired.
Totally, which is a huge,
you know, and all of a sudden you're not absorbing this the same, because I took a way less dose and I definitely felt it. I wasn't at all like tripping, but like, I definitely was like, okay, there's a, there it is. And there's the energy and I feel great.
Right on.
And it's just like very functional, very just like, for me, I found that if I'm really trying to function and like work and perform like cognitively at a high level, I'm at around 0.1, you know, but there's so many factors as well, man. You know, agreed. Like how's my diet been up until then? How's my sleep been? I used to take like a lot of supplements. You remember that big, you know,
area by
cabinets. Now I have like only 4 or 5, like I've just whittled it down, and I'm just trying to get like to the basics and like,
okay,
you know, really get to the core.
Hey, well, you're looking good, man.
Thanks. Yeah. And but yeah, I have some work to do for sure. The quarantine, you know, eating a bunch is still going on for me.
Yeah, out here, dude,
in California, it's still kind of in a lockdown mode. It's crazy, man.
That sucks. That is not ideal by any means. It's
Yeah.
Yeah. California is about being outside. If you can't be outside, California kind of defeats the purpose in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, we could be outside, but you know, like businesses aren't fully open and things like that. So it still feels like weird, you know, like.
I gotcha. That is weird.
But yeah. I was going to ask
you
what about your experience with microdosing lately.
So I haven't done it in probably 8 months or so. And it's honestly been for two reasons. One, I did it for a little while there, probably at like 0.1, kind of like where you're at, like 100 milligrams. I found like that was just a nice little, whatever it was, just kind of that natural boost to allow me to feel comfortable and feel myself and kind of just be my best self in a sense. And then I had an experience, I don't know if you remember my buddy Alex, but he came out to visit in the summertime, and, he's like, hey, I really want to go along on a trip with you. I think we should do this while I'm out here. And I was like, okay, sounds good. So I gathered the stuff and he's like, all right, I just want to take 2 grams or whatever. And I didn't have a scale. So I was like, all right, well, we're just going to eyeball this out. And so I gave him 2 grams and I was like, I'll just take this big old chunk and just go ahead and take that knob and just eat it. And so I ate the entire thing and I had the wildest experience I've ever experienced. It literally brought me to ego death. It brought me to
your knees.
It felt like I was dying. Wow. It was very bad timing because as you're aware, naturopathic boards are very, very difficult. And at that moment, my fiance was about to go take her boards and I made Alex call her because I was in a panic telling her that I was about to die.
Oh.
And that this was the end. But again, it was an experience that was so enlightening and so fulfilling and appreciating in a sense. It's almost like getting to experience that process without actually having to go through it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which sounds like, why would you want to put yourself through that? And that's a good question. And probably a lot of people wouldn't want to, but I think that trying to understand those questions and truly dive deep into those kind of things are the questions that fear people the most. So why would you not want to try to get an answer like that? People fear death all the time. It's a constant fear for so many people. So yep. Being able to not fear something and truly just go towards it, almost like that immersion therapy in a sense, just really dive headfirst into it. It can be enlightening and be opening up to a new part of yourself, a new pathway, a new different things that you just allow yourself to become more open. And I don't even know if you want to say just hearing of other people, you become more empathetic. You listen to what people are saying more and you feel what people are saying more. You can relate more with what they're saying. It's a, it makes you feel more. Kind of a funny story. I remember when we first were hanging out back at your apartment, I told you a story about how my soon to be father-in-law, the first time I met him, told me, hey, I want you to point to who Rob is. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, take your finger and point to who Rob is. And I was like, okay, this is Rob. And he goes, no, you're wrong. I was like, what the hell are you telling me? I'm wrong. I'm like, no, I'm Rob. And he goes, you didn't point to your heart. He's like, you pointed to your brain. You had to think about it. And I was like, all right, dude, like, you're just trying to prove a point to me. Like, whatever. Like, I thought it was totally going into it with that. Like, he's trying to just act superior thing for some reason. Cause I had that weird misogynistic mindset. I don't know what that mindset was, but it was just a weird mindset going into it, not being open-minded.
Yeah.
He was trying to teach me a pretty cool lesson about not just necessarily thinking all the time and just feeling. And he's just like, no, use your heart, that use your gut. That's there for a reason. That's your intuition. That's something that we don't dive deep enough into in life and that we don't truly explore. And it's such a good guide and it's been around forever. It's what people call your spirit. It's what people call
your soul.
God. It's what people, their soul. It's what it is. You should feel it and live it more and express it and be open to it. And that's those experiences are the experiences that allow you to truly unlock those doors. Sometimes when you just don't even know the door's there, you're not willing to open it.
Yeah.
It's a enlightening experience at the very least.
Beautiful, man. Thanks for sharing. And I agree with everything you said. And it's like, you know, psychedelics can be, it's like I heard this saying, everybody's going to die at one point, right? Like we all experience the ultimate psychedelic. It's called death. But psychedelics are an experience to like experience death before you actually die so that you can apply the lessons while you're living still.
I never heard that, but that makes so much sense, man.
Yep. Yep. And so that's what it got me.
Spirit animal over here.
What's that?
I said the spirit animal over here. Of course you would know that.
The spirit animal. No, spirit
guide. We got to come up with a name for you though. Spirit guide. Yes. Excuse me.
But spirit animal. I like it.
You can, you're definitely my spirit animal in a lot of ways. I envy your energy and so much positive passion. It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I feel like you match it, you know, and that's why when we get together, we're, you know, vibing high and that's what it's all about, dude. You know, just continuously getting, you know, higher and higher in consciousness and, really just ultimately comes down to love, right? And just more and more and more love and just spreading that. And so, you know, relating to that, kind of, how has emotion code been in your life? Have you been using that? Has that been a thing in your life? Because you taught me about that, and that's a really cool book to check out. And yeah, just talk about that more.
Bradley Nelson, the author, Emotion Code. It's a technique using binary biofeedback, kind of like what I was talking about before with the muscle testing or leg link testing, or you can actually use a pendulum, which is really cool. And that's kind of my preferred method with it. I don't know how familiar you are. I know you're familiar with using crystals because I've kind of introduced you to, and I think you've had a pass in a lot of different energy work yourself. Mm-hmm. But it's just trying to understand, again, ask the body where the root cause of the issue is. So whether it's a emotional issue manifesting as a structural issue, so like constantly having stomach ache, constantly having headaches, constantly having cramps, whatever it may be that be manifesting in the body. Sometimes it's not always just one issue that's causing it. Sometimes it could be a nutrient deficiency. Sometimes it can be literally, like I said, a structural issue. Sometimes you got hit in the leg and that's literally why your leg is bruised. But sometimes it's literally these emotions of different events that you go through in life that you actually hold on to and you store. And they can actually manifest wherever those energies hold, in different organs, different areas of the body, different joints, different things. That's why a lot of the time there's theories out there that when you see breast cancer and you have a patient, she'll go get a mastectomy, it'll still come back constantly. Even though you've removed all of the tissue, it keeps coming back. It's like, why is that happening? There's structurally nothing there that would cause that. Well, obviously the cells are changed in that area from some force, and modern day science doesn't have a reason for it. But if you actually look at a lot of different thoughts and theories on it with Eastern medicine, it's energy work, trying to understand how to remove and change that energy that's causing that dysfunction in that area. Mm-hmm. So what emotion code does, it can actually help identify those emotions that are locked in those areas, help you try to process them and release them, and truly experience them, so you can go through whatever that experience was, so you can just let it go and not necessarily hold on to it and hold that energy in that place, so you can just feel and move and just be yourself more.
Mm-hmm. And have you been using it with patients now? What have you found? Like, have you been like legit, like using it the way you've been like kind of,
it's a select, it's people. I'm always open-minded to introducing it to people, but as you know, some people just aren't really familiar with a lot of these things. So it's trying to find those individuals that sometimes you can introduce the conversation to, that maybe have said like, hey, I've seen something about this. And I'll be like, oh, interesting. I actually know a little bit about that, and kind of like talking to them about it. So there are some patients that I definitely have done it with.
That's cool.
One patient that I've told you about in the past that I've done it with, it was a younger boy, and he's an autistic younger boy, and he would pee his pants, I think they said around five to eight times a day for about 2 to 3 years. And it was like a constant issue, and they could never figure out why. They went to so many doctors, they got so many tests run, they stopped giving him water, they gave him more water. They couldn't figure out what was going on with it. And he actually was storing so many hard emotions that weren't even his in his bladder, and is actually in his, I think it was in his kidneys and his bladder. I don't remember exactly, but I remember it was in his bladder. And he was just holding on to everyone else's energy, because that's a lot of the time what people that can't be verbal and don't speak their emotions, that can't release them, they're taking on a lot of other people's energy because they're trying to take it on. They're taking on that energy in a sense. So being able to help him actually discover that and actually almost like figure that out, like that was happening, and then release it for him. Literally that next day, they said he peed his pants once that next day. And then ever since, when I talked to him last, he hadn't peed his pants again since with it. And it's, they were just mind blown by it. It was incredible. It truly was. It's like one of those stories that just sounds too crazy to be true, but it's literally these things that we just hold on to, and we don't, you can't, I mean, I can't tell you that I'm holding on to an emotion from 15 years ago that's constantly rearing in the back of my head, but it may be happening just because I've learned to suppress it. And you don't think about it all the time. You learn how to just go through your day-to-day life, but that just, it sits with you, and it's just, they hold on sometimes. You got to learn how to be open. Like, talk therapy is great, but that's why different things like this podcast is awesome. Being able to just be open and talk about these things is huge. Being able to talk about using different things with them, such as MDMA, psychedelics, just being able to open your mind and being free and feeling open about those things are, it's something we need to be more comfortable and more almost pushing people towards doing. As crazy as that sounds, it'd be so healthy for people just to kind of let loose and just not hold on so tight. They don't have to grip so tight. It's, we're all in this together. We can do this.
Yeah, man. Well, it's not so crazy to me. You know
that. I know. But it takes
trying to get others to think that it is a little bit crazy to be like, well, maybe it's not so crazy. Maybe the paradigm right now is a little bit crazy. Maybe like the just go to the doctor, see him for 7 minutes, and here's your prescription is a little bit crazy. Like, what's
it's really what we just become so used to. Yeah.
Yep.
It's funny. I'm watching a show right now. It's a show called Hunters. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's a show about Jewish people going and hunting down Nazis in the late 1970s in America, because a lot of Nazis got pretty much brought over to America because they wanted them for whatever they were good at, their specialties, whatever it may be, to kind of make sure that Russia didn't get them, in a sense. And it was funny because one of the German guys was like talking to one of the American people, and they're like, oh, they're like, I just got to go to the doctor. And he's like, why are you going to go to the doctor? He's like, they just keep giving you medications that just keep killing you even more, making things worse. He's like, how do you guys not see that already? He's like, we literally invented that to just do this to you people. He's like, how do you not get that already?
Wow.
He's like, you guys are just keep believing and just keep going for more. And I shouldn't laugh at it. It's honestly sad, but hearing someone be that blatant about it, it's like, it's right there for you. And I'm not saying it's, and we both know this, there's a time and a place for everything. It's just not a frontline therapy, and it's not what we're used to. It's not what our bodies respond best to. And it's not what, there's other ways of approaching things. And I think, talking about things like this and, being open and trying different therapies that are more natural, I think is a good start in a lot of ways for a lot of people.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's really about meeting people where they're at, because if you think that, you know, everybody's ready for this, what we're talking about, we're totally mistaken.
Oh, I know. This is going to piss a lot of people off probably.
Yeah.
And, if they even want to listen.
That's not our goal, but maybe it'll stir up a little, you know, something to be like, well, shit, maybe I don't feel so great on these 7 medications. I don't even know what 3 of them are for. You know, maybe there is another way. Like, we're telling you there is another way, but you have to ultimately want to, you know, take those steps and work toward it. Nobody can tell you. You have to decide.
And that's it always has to be you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, man, I think there's a time and place for sure, especially in the short term, you know, for a short amount of time, especially in extreme cases, for sure. But for a lifelong thing, load them up and just... It's just crazy, man. I mean, just, you know, we don't even want to get into this rabbit hole, but just the whole pharmaceutical companies and how many issues they've gotten, you know, trouble and billions in fines they paid for all the bad things they've done. And then people want to just like run to sign up to this like extremely experimental, you know, gene therapy. It's not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy that's come out, and like, just, I can't wait to go get mine, and like posting about how excited they are and stuff, even in our profession, bro.
I know, man.
It blows my mind. It blows my mind.
So there's a naturopathic medicine page here on Facebook for Maine, and Andy wanted to post, because a lot of the doctors that are very, very, I don't even know what you want to say, very active on the page, always trying to talk and always make posts, are the ones that are very pro advocating for this. And they like, there was one girl who just joined the group and actually made a comment like, well, I think we should also try to consider these options and make sure we're explaining these to our patients and well. And she just got like ripped to shreds on there on a naturopathic medicine post about not being able to explain to your patients other options and just saying like, no, we need to tell them exactly what's right and things like that. It's weird. Weird times.
Yeah. So we need to keep the light and keep the vitalism strong. And I know we will. And I know that it won't, you know, go away. But like, holy moly, I feel like we don't even need psychedelics anymore, bro. You just look around and you feel like you're tripping.
Yeah. Sometimes reality definitely does not feel like reality. Sometimes you just need to get kicked back into, I don't know. This is weird times. It definitely feels like Groundhog Day. And I know people say that all the time, but just try to, if you're listening to this, try to just go out there and live, try to just go back to finding who you are, find new hobbies, find different people that share your interests, try to invest in yourself right now, whatever you want to do. I mean, I'm not telling you to try to go do anything that you don't feel comfortable doing, but just go find who you are and go have fun. there's a lot of room for positivity out there, and a lot of people aren't talking about that. And there's a lot of cool stuff out there in this world right now to do, and just go find it. Like, I never knew I was going to be interested in mushrooms, but it's literally a thing that I'm now talking on a podcast with one of my best friends about. And it's cool. I appreciate it. It's a cool life experience. And I hope to hopefully be able to share this information with others. So two other things that I wanted to say about mushrooms really quick. There's two more books that I would highly recommend for other people.
Okay, please.
I think I mentioned the one, which is Tangled Life. I don't know who the author is by that one, but it's a really good book talking about his personal journey, again, about learning how to work with mushrooms, cultivate them, just the whole experience of kind of like getting introduced to them, why they're important, different aspects of it. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I haven't made it through the whole book yet. Thank you. It's Merlin Sheldrake is the author nice. Of that book. How fungi make our worlds, change our minds, and shape our futures, which is really cool. And then the other book is the Healing Mushrooms by Tiro Iso Kapulia. I can't say his name. He's a Finnish guy. He owns the company Four Sigmatic, which is a company that I would recommend checking out if you haven't already. They have really, really cool mushroom products. The coffee that I just got done drinking was a lion's mane product from them. Phenomenal product. It's about half the normal amount of coffee with then lion's mane mushroom added to it. You can't taste the mushroom at all, but the mental clarity of it and the efficiency that you feel with it is pretty awesome without that crash after it, which is really cool.
Yeah. No, I've had it. And I've seen they've come out with a lot of new products too. I mean, they've just blown up.
Yeah, they're blown up.
Yeah.
That market's actually starting to get pretty big, which is pretty cool. I'm glad that's actually people are starting to get used to it, familiar with it. Like, there's a lot of natural food stores out here. Another really cool thing about Maine, they're very small local stores. Like, there's not a lot of fast food joints out here. There's a lot more mom pop shops, and then also natural medicine, natural health, all these different places where you can go and get all these things that are just raw organic materials that you can kind of just live off of like you would if you were in the olden days, in a sense, but still like modernized in a sense where it's just for modern use. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's about, man. It's like the closer you live to nature, like the closer you live to the way our great grandparents lived, the closer you are to health. I mean, period, you know, and the way you eat and all of your lifestyle habits. So
agreed.
You know, that's the easier, better, you know, it's about education about that stuff. And that's about access to that stuff. And so, you know, that's what it
totally did. It absolutely is. Couldn't agree more, my friend.
Nice, man. Well, what else is on your mind? Anything else before we wrap up?
I had a little list here of different things. The only thing that I didn't mention, just cool things about Maine, the highways out here don't have billboards. So when you're actually driving up into Maine, it's just all the natural beauty of all the natural forest and the mountains and the hills. And it's really cool. The forest out here and the mountains out here are very similar to Colorado in a sense of just like a ton of huge mountains, but it's very dense, beautiful alpine pine forest. And it looks like a dream. It's been a pretty cool winter up here.
That's awesome.
It's been a lot of fun.
That's really
cool. So if you guys ever want to come up to Maine, it's a beautiful place to check out. People are very friendly, very welcoming.
Awesome. I will definitely be there.
Do cool shit.
ASAP. What does that say?
Do cool shit.
Is that a Maine thing?
I don't know. It's got a little tree on it, so it just reminds me of Maine, so I like it.
I love that. I love that, dude. Well, it's been a real pleasure and a blast, and really enjoyed having you on here, man. And, you know, just like old times talking and chatting, and really, really enjoyed our friendship during school and, you know, everything that it'll go to beyond of, you know, talking about patients and life and, you know, everything. So yeah, man, thanks again for everything and for everything that you are. I appreciate you, and we'll chat soon.
Hey man, this has been a lot of fun, and I appreciate you giving me the time to actually come on here and have some great talk with you. I definitely missed this, and hopefully you and we can catch up sometime soon and maybe do this again in the future.
For sure, dude. I love that. Maybe out in
all right, buddy.
Record a podcast.
Right on. Looking forward to it. Do it on the beach or awesome, in the mountains, bro. Whatever works.
Awesome, bro.